This is Forrest Solis interviewing Jessica Marquis on June 24th, 2015 at 10:45. All right, Jessica, if you could maybe take us back to around the time of the pregnancy and let us know if there's anything, a memorable event or like what season, just something to kind of place us.
Sure. Okay, so let's see, my husband and I had a daughter before. My husband and I had a daughter before the twins, and so she was about, one and a half, and we had just finished the Phoenix Film Festival because we're very involved in the film community here in Phoenix, and I took a pregnancy test because I was feeling kind of similar to how I felt when I found out I was pregnant with her, and it came out positive. So that was in April. And April of 2014, and promptly after that, I started to feel the pregnancy symptoms, but like really crazy. I was smelling, we had some flowers that were dying. I could smell them dying two rooms over, and I never had that with my first pregnancy. It was bizarre. And I was feeling crazy nauseous. Like, I mean, I'd had crazy nausea with the first pregnancy, but this one was, I mean, I was on the couch. Just laid out, and my fatigue was off the charts, and I was feeling depression. It was just like chemical depression. It wasn't thoughts or typical depression that textbook. It was depression of just like my body. I didn't want to get up, and I was crying a lot. So anyway, I said, something's really weird. I said to my husband, something's not right. So we had hired a midwife. We were going to do a home birth, and my daughter was born in a birth center, and we really loved that type of care, but we really wanted to do it at home this time. So we had hired a midwife, and she had similar faith to us, and we were really excited to have just this really holistic experience, mind, body, spirit. And we went and visited her, and I said to her, I'm feeling crazy. I'm like, literally, I'm just not feeling pregnant, Jessica. I feel bizarro, Jessica. And so I said, I really would like to take an ultrasound. I'm about 8 weeks right now. And I said, I know that's really early, but something just is not right with this pregnancy. And so she said, I don't like to do them this early, but something in her spirit also said, let's do this. And I was going out of town. I was going on an international trip with my daughter. So I wanted to make sure that I had all my ducks in a row before I flew off of this continent to another one. And so my husband and I went for an ultrasound, and I was actually by myself at this ultrasound. And he was coming later. He was running a little bit late from work. So the tech was checking me out, and she said, how do you feel about twins? And I thought she was just making conversation. And I said, I guess they're okay. And she said, no, you're having twins. And she pointed to the screen, and there were two sacs with two beating hearts, which is amazing for that early on. She said, you have, there are twins in there. And I mean, there were so many thoughts that went through my head. First of all, I was kind of bummed that my husband wasn't there for the reveal. But also, I mean, in that immediate moment, I knew I couldn't keep my midwife, who had already walked me through so much difficulty and with all these symptoms. Yeah, that's right. So my husband did show up, and we let him know what was going on, and his knees buckled a little bit, but he sat down and we processed it together. We called my doula right away. She actually is a mother of twins herself, so she knew exactly what was going to be happening to me in the next 9 months. And we talked to my midwife, and so just speeding the story up a little bit, we knew that here in Arizona you need to deliver twins in an OR. You can't do it in a typical delivery room. You actually have to do it in an OR. And so that's the ruling if you're in a hospital. And so my doula recommended a really good OB, very natural-minded, and she was lovely. But we had so many issues with her staff and just ran into a lot of difficulties with just recommendations and communication. And finally, I just said, Bob, I don't think that this is the right doctor for us. I really feel like God's slamming a door on this one. I said, I don't know what else to do because this is the most natural-minded OB I know of and that our doula really likes. So I had, in the process of all of this, met a certified nurse midwife who in the state of Arizona is allowed to do home births for twins, but most will not do it because there is risk associated and you can be looked down on by your community. But I approached her and I said to her, I'm having a lot of difficulty with this doctor and her staff, and I feel that the home birth might be the right direction. Would you consider it? She said, let me pray on it. I was like, oh my gosh, she is a praying person too. So we both prayed on it for a week, and we talked to each other a week later, and she said, let's do this. And I just almost jumped out of my seat. I was so excited. But I still had to get my husband on board. He knew that the doctor wasn't the right route, but he wasn't yet convinced that the home birth was. So I did a ton of research. He did research too. I put together a bunch of statistics. I interviewed other moms who had twins around the country, internationally, as part of a Facebook group I was in. Any who had home births, asked them about transfers, just all those kind of statistics just to find out what we were getting ourselves into. And then I gave him all the research from books, research from interviews, just everything that I could compile. And we came to the same conclusion that for us, that home birth with the twins was going to be the best option. And as long as everything went smoothly, I have to insert that. they were die-die, which means that they had their own placentas. Each of them had their own placenta, and each of them had their own sac. So they weren't at risk of twin-to-twin transfusion, where one twin is bigger than the other. They weren't at risk of tangling up in each other's cords. So it's the best situation that you can get for twins in terms of risk, so to speak. So we progressed through our pregnancy. I continued to have difficulty with nausea, heartburn. The depression was alleviated through Lexapro. I am grateful for that. That little pill really helped a lot. But I really didn't run into any difficulties after leaving the other doctor. So, now, in regard to, do twins run in the family, which I'm always asked, no, they do not run in the family. This was totally unexpected. There was no IVF. It was just, we were destined to have three kids. And we found out that it was two boys, which complemented our little girl nicely. And we went in for ultrasounds regularly to make sure that they were growing accordingly and that they were healthy and so on. We found out that they were, and so every time we went in, we were able to continue with our midwife. And she built a team of practitioners to help with the delivery, because when you have twins at home, you have to have one designated practitioner for one baby, one for the other baby, and one for the mom. So I had my doula to help me with labor, and then I had a team of midwives and assistants to help. So I was really working toward 50 pounds. I was doing over 100 grams of protein every day, which was really tough for me because I kind of tend toward vegetarian, not fully, but I really had a hard time doing lots of meat. So what I did is I did three bowls of whole fat Greek yogurt. So I had 20 grams per serving for that, three times a day. Three bowls that a day. I had as much bread with protein as possible, and I forced myself to eat a lot of meat. And I did good. I was able to get my weight gain on there. The boys gained plenty of weight. And in regard to birth classes and all that, I put together a birthing plan with my husband and my midwife, and it's really cool with the home birth. They're so supportive. You don't have to worry about putting all the things you don't want, because they're not going to force much on you. They're not going to force anything, really, except if it's a life or death situation. So my birthing plan had a plan B in the event that I needed to transfer with the boys. I had things that I did or didn't want if I did end up at the hospital. But the birthing plan itself was really clear cut. It was that I wanted to have them at home. I wanted to have them in water if possible. I wasn't able to do that with my daughter. She just refused to be born in the water. She was born on a bed at the birth center, but I really wanted to have my water birth with my boys if possible. I was going to have my doula there, and she would stay with me regardless of what happened. We talked about afterwards, there tends to be more blood loss with twins, so we talked about what we would use for that. And so it was actually a very detailed birth plan, because there were so many things I had to take into account. We also did plan for delayed cord clamping, which means that we let all the blood from the placenta flow into the babies as long as we could. That was on the birth plan. Placenta encapsulation was also on the birth plan, so we kept the placentas so that we could have them encapsulated. And I know that the research behind that is still formulating, but for me, I was willing to take that risk, because it definitely helped me with my first. I had a great pregnancy. I was so grateful throughout the whole thing, even though I was battling layers of the depression and the nausea, and I was so tired. I really was just so grateful, just knowing that not only was I carrying two babies, but they were healthy, and that I was going to get to have the birth that I wanted. I wasn't being forced into something out of fear. And that, for me, was it was almost the theme of the pregnancy, was love over fear. When choosing the doctor and the hospital would have been the fear route. And I recognized that if I had to go there, I was willing and happy to go there if something did indeed go wrong. But going to a hospital, I only was going to do because I was being told that that was what I needed to do, not because I wanted it. And having the babies at home was such an amazing thing for me, because for my husband and me growing up, I can't say that our homes were places that we wanted to spend lots of time in for various reasons. And so to welcome our boys into the world in our home and make that a place that we wanted to be and that they wanted to be, and to have our daughter there too, that was in the birth plan, it was just something that I felt was redeeming of the concept of home for all of us. So it was a wonderful pregnancy overall. I mean, looking back, I pretty much spent most of the third trimester in my lazy boy. And we had family come in to take care of me. My mom came in for the last 2 months. And prior to that, my aunt, it's my husband's aunt, came in, and she took care of me and took care of my daughter. And they prepared meals. And I was beside myself with gratitude. So getting to the actual point of the birth, the boys were due December 14th, but we knew that most likely they would come at the end of November, beginning of December, so that's what we were aiming toward. And as long as I got to 36 weeks, I could have them at home. So I went into labor, I think it was, November 20th, or maybe it was the night of November 19th. I started feeling contractions. My husband contacted our doula and just gave her a heads up that I was starting to have contractions. It actually started kind of funny. I was sitting on the lazy boy and he was sitting on the couch, and I shifted and I felt kind of funny, and I made a noise, and he said, "What was that?" And I said, I was just shifting. I'm fine." And he said, "Well, I don't know if you're going into labor." I said, "I will know if I'm going into labor." And honestly, 10 minutes later, I said, "Bob, I think I'm in labor." So I had the really, they started to pick up, and it was hard for me to know for sure if I was in labor, because my daughter's labor was so different. I had been in labor with her with severe back labor, so it's hard to actually feel the contractions with her. So these contractions felt a lot less painful, and therefore I didn't actually know if I was. was in labor. So I had contractions off and on, and finally the doula, and we had contacted our midwife. They said just, if she can, have her get sleep, because this is still early labor, have her rest as much as possible. So I went to bed, fell asleep, I woke up, I still was having contractions. And so they came over early in the morning, and they checked me out, and we went for a walk. And I had dilated, but it was slow progress, so we went for a walk around the neighborhood. And after a few hours, I still wasn't making a lot of progress, so they just said, well, go ahead and get some more rest and give us calls, you know, throughout the day. Well, the labor stopped. The contractions stopped. And so we talked to them, and they said, well, sometimes this happens, so just rest, take care of yourself, because you don't know when they're going to kick in. You need as much energy as you can manage. Okay, so that night, he still hadn't fully kicked in. I was getting bummed out. And they said, just go out to eat. Get a glass of wine. Relax. So we went to a nice dinner at St. Francis. And I had a glass of wine, which is crazy for the customers looking at the pregnant woman drinking wine. But we were trying to tell everybody around us, oh, no, I'm in labor. They told me to drink wine to relax. And which, of course, I'm sure they were wondering, why are you in labor at this restaurant, but whatever. So the contractions, I did have minor contractions. They didn't progress. I went to bed. And I went through labor of 11 days, in and out. They would come and go. The team came a few days later. We thought it was going to happen. The contractions were picking up. The whole team assembled here. They blew up the tub in the living room. They filled it. And the contractions stopped again. And I was just crying, because I just wanted to have the boys. It had been a few days at this point. I think it was about 4 days at this point. 5 days. I just wanted to meet them. But it wasn't meant to be. I said to my midwife, I want you to break my water. She said, well, let me go talk to the team. And so my doula sat with me. Her name's Diane. She sat with me. Diane sat with her, with my husband. And we just, you know, talked about it and cried. And so my midwife came back in, and she said, the team recommends against it. She said, we'll do whatever you want. But she said, they recommend against it. Because if it doesn't work, you are going to the hospital. And she said, and I know you don't want that. And you don't have to go at this point. And I was grateful. I was really bummed, but really grateful. Because I know, had I been in some situations, they would have gone ahead and broken my water. And I would have put into an emergency situation. So I said, okay, and I just laid there and cried, and one of the other team members came in, and she just sat with me and prayed with me and cried with me, and it's amazing having a group of women just surround you and say, we got it, we've been there. One of them actually had been there. She had been in and out of labor for, I think she had 2 or 3 weeks, and it was amazing having them there to support me. They went home, we drained the pool, and my daughter kept asking if she could go swimming. No, you can't go swimming before I go swimming. And this happened throughout the week of Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving, I was in labor eating turkey on the balance ball, trying to kick up my contractions, and nothing. So the night that I finally did go into real labor, although I will say that it was real labor the whole time, because I did have some dilation and things, the boys were effacing, it was just very slow. But as they pointed out, they were being bathed, as my team pointed out, they were being bathed in hormones the whole time. It was good for them. I went for a walk with my mom Saturday, November 29th. Went for a walk with her. My husband had taken my daughter out so I could have as little stress as possible. And I got home, and I was just frustrated, because earlier in the day he had said, if we don't progress, he's like, my leave is running out. I only took 2 weeks. I've already used up one. And he said, we really need to get this going. And he said, we might need to look at other options. And I knew what that meant. possibly a hospital visit, and I just did not want that. And so I came home from my walk with my mom, and the house was quiet, and she went and made dinner. And I just turned on some praise and worship music, just like meditative stuff, just like really like deep meditative stuff. I just sat on my balance ball and just listened to some songs over and over again that were really calming and really full of hope. And there's one song that just really rocked me. It's called Beautiful Things, and it's he makes beautiful things out of dust. He makes beautiful things out of us. And I just felt like that. I was just like, I was leveled. I was just like ruined. And I just sat there in the ball, and I just felt the contractions building and building and building. And I let them build, and I just said, I will not allow any fear of them not continuing to enter in. I'm just going to hand these off. I'm just going to let them go. And they continued to build, and they continued to build, and they built through dinner, and I ate dinner, and then they built through me putting my daughter to bed, and I was singing her a lullaby and going in and out of moans. And I came out, and my husband said, after my daughter's asleep, he said, "So it's what's going on?" I said, "I'm still in labor." He said, "This is good." So he contacted the doula and the midwife. And funny, so the way that it's supposed to work with the home birth is the doula comes, helps you labor, then you contact the midwife comes, and then you deliver the baby. Well, the midwife lived closer than the doula, and it had so many, for lack of a better term, false alarms. So we contacted the midwife, and she came out, and she checked me, and she said, "I think we're going to have the babies." So she hung out. She called another midwife to come and just give a second opinion, and she said, "Yep, this looks like this is happening." So we contacted the doula, and she said, "Okay, Jessica needs to be speed walking." And throughout the house, I couldn't go for a speed walk outside because there was no one to watch my daughter, and I couldn't walk by myself at this point because I was waddling a lot. And so I kept speed walking, and the labor kept building, and my doula showed up, and she helped me continue laboring, and now I was feeling it in my hips, which I hadn't had before. I hadn't had that type of labor. As I said, with my first one, it was all my first... My first labor was all on my back. It was 38 hours long. I had no idea what labor was supposed to be like because it was so convoluted with my first. So I'm feeling it in my hips. It feels like they're spreading. I'm like, oh, this is what labor feels like. This is what labor is. And I was getting cold because it was a November night, so I went to turn up the heat, and they were starting to fill the pool at this point, and they filled it with as much hot water as they could get, and then they were boiling water in the stove to warm it up even more. And so I turned the heat up a little bit, and then I went to use the restroom, and I'm sitting on the toilet and my water breaks. And that, again, that hadn't happened with my first one. I didn't know that sensation because they had to break my water with her. And so I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I think that was my water breaking because I don't think I had that much urine stored up. And so they came in. I called my doula. I said, I think my water broke. And she checked. And she's like, "Yep, your water definitely broke." So they said, "This is happening." And so they went and woke my husband up because we had told him to go to sleep because we didn't know how long it was going to be. So I went and woke him up, and he called my mom. And he said, "Yeah, the baby should be arriving pretty soon, but take your time." And someone overheard him and said, "No, the babies are on their way. Get here now." I'm so glad they did that because the babies were definitely on their way. So I hopped into the water. And it felt great. It felt amazing. It was like, I can't describe it. It was just relief. And so I was in the water and just getting into positions that would feel good, as good as possible to deliver the babies. And so I was shifting, and I finally found, like, on my back was best with just leaning backward. And I could feel baby A starting to get into position. And they were doing the Doppler in the water, and they said, "Okay, baby A is descending." And so everybody got into position. My husband got down at the bottom so he could watch him being born. And My mom was up at the top holding my hands, and I gave birth to my little boy that I'm holding right now, baby A.
Yeah.
And he came out, and he was screaming and happy, and they put him right onto my chest, just like that. They put him right onto my chest, and he just laid there and looked up at me, and I looked down at him. And right at that moment, they were checking me for Baby B's position, and Baby B got right in position, and he was ready to come out right after his brother. And so we left, as I said, delayed cord clamping. We left the cord with Baby A, and it continued pulsing, and Baby B was right in position. Within 9 minutes, he came out. So 2:21 a.m. and 2:30 a.m., those are the times, on November 30th. And Baby B came out. My husband caught him and put him on my chest. So I have two little boys on my chest. I'm in the water, just relaxing, and they're just and their team's checking me and checking the boys. And the cords are still pulsing, and the blood is still flowing into them. And delivered Baby B's placenta came out first, which was a surprise. And then Baby A's took a little bit more work. I don't know the medical term, but the slang term for it is it was Dirty Duncan. It was upside down, so they had to like kind of help me birth that one. It was almost like delivering a third child. So the placentas are out, boys are healthy, I'm okay, and they tell me, time to get out of the water. I said, can I just rest here a little bit longer? They said, absolutely not, time to get out. And being that they don't get forceful unless it's a matter of life or death, I had to listen to them. So I got up, and I fell over, and it turned out that my blood pressure dropped when I stood up because I wasn't holding my belly. I had a distended uterus, I believe is the term, because I had just been carrying two babies, and now I had like a ton of uterus that didn't have anywhere to go. And so I stood up and passed out, and when I came to, it was like seconds later, just I came right to, but it sounded like circus music was playing in my head. I just heard them saying, focus, focus, and they had me look like, specifically at one of the team members, and they just kept saying her name, and I just was focusing on her, and they pulled me out of the water, and they gave me the medicine to help stop the bleeding. It was all planned. I mean, this was not a surprise to them. They said, with twins, it's likely this will happen. That's why I had this medication prepared. It was part of the birth plan. So they gave it to me and stopped the bleeding, and they put me on my couch, and put a bunch of blankets and a hat on me, and just started bringing me food. And it was food that I couldn't eat for the last several months because of heartburn and nausea. And now I was able to, like, I was eating chocolate chip cookies, I was eating raspberries, and they brought me cranberry juice, and they put a bunch of sugar in there to get my sugar levels up. So I'm just pigging out here. They got a bunch of leftovers from our Thanksgiving dinner, and so I'm chewing on those, getting my protein up. And my husband had Baby B, and my mom had Baby A, and so the team started weighing them and checking to make sure their vitals were all good, and all was awesome. And so my husband and I got to finally have our moment together to talk about names, and the team left the room. And the baby A, we decided to name Calvin Jean Marquis. And Baby B, we decided to name Milo Allen Marquis. And so we announced their names, and it was a wonderful moment. The team loved them because we hadn't told anybody their names, and they were just so excited to hear the names. And no complications, nothing. I was great afterwards. The boys were great. They ended up nursing fabulously. We had a wonderful bonding time. And my dad was in Hungary, where my parents are missionaries. So my mom was able to try to FaceTime him and give him the details of the kids' names. And so it's just my mom there and my husband and me and our team, and they cleaned the whole house up. So when my daughter woke up at 6 a.m., she came out, and it just looked like a bunch of people were hanging out together, and there were two babies now. And my mom carried her into the living room, and she said to my husband was, I'm sorry. So my mom went into my daughter's room, brought her out, because my daughter was calling to us. She brought her out. My husband's sitting the lazy boy holding the two boys, and I'm resting on the couch. And my husband says, Moxie, we have two babies we'd like you to meet, two important people. And he said, do you know who these are? And she looked, and he said, these are your brothers. And she was so excited. She didn't really know what to make of them, but she was excited because she had been with me the whole time, feeling the babies move throughout my pregnancy, and she loved her brothers. And so she went over and she started touching them and interacting with them. And then she promptly lost interest because, you know, she's 2.5 at this point. But it was fantastic. I mean, the whole room was so quiet to watch her meet her brothers for the first time. And then everybody just started clearing out. My midwife had to stay around to check to make sure that I had used the restroom sufficiently, and they had taken a shower and gotten cleaned up and was in bed resting, and everything was working great. She said she'd come back, and I think it was the came back in 2 days, but she was calling me to make sure everything was okay. My doula left, and so it was just my husband and me and my mom, and then his mom came to pick up my daughter so we could have a day to rest with the boys, and so she got to meet her grandsons for the first time, which was amazing. And then we just poured a glass of nice wine and took a drink and fell asleep almost immediately. And I think that was the last time we slept together in bed side by side since, because now I have to co-sleep with the boys so that they sleep through the night. And my husband has been an awesome supporter of that. They have been growing amazingly. And my daughter just adores her brothers. So Calvin Jean-Marquis was born first at 2:21 a.m., November 30th. He was 7 pounds, 1 ounce. He was 19 and a half inches long. His little brother Milo, 9 minutes younger, 2:21 a.m., he had a little bit darker hair. Calvin had blonde hair. Milo had darker hair, brown. Milo was 6 pounds, 7.5 ounces, and 19 inches. And both cried great, both nursed great. And that is my birth story.
That's amazing.
Thank
you. How was the, when it came to the actual labor part, you know, women have described that differently, and some women said they had to kind of like go inside and they couldn't have, you know, communicate with others. Like, how was the pain for you?
You know, it was, that's definitely, as it progressed, it's funny, both times people have laughed about how I do with labor. I'm talking normal. And then, like, really intense, I have to, like, breathe through and focus through and just, like, and just almost meditate on that moment. So at the beginning of it, I'm able to have conversations. But as it progresses in intensity and in pressure, yeah, I need to go inside. And we've talked about having music playing before, but it's never worked out. In the actual moment, I just want silence. I just want to focus inward. And doing it naturally without any medication at all, you really need to draw upon all your reserves. So for me, that means shutting everything out, not communicating, and that especially in transition and in the pushing stages.
So when you were pushing, did they, you know, in the hospital, they'll be like, you know, count, and then you have to hold a push for a certain length of time. Were you just doing everything as it came natural to you?
I did everything as it came naturally to me. Thinking through how to explain it. With home birth, with natural birth, with birth centers, with hospitals that are naturally inclined, especially ones that employ midwives, they tell you, trust your body, go with your body, move with your body, get up. If your baby is telling you, I need to be delivered this way, you move this way. If you feel like the baby needs to go this way, you just move with that. And so with the pushes, it's the same thing. they will tell you, the team will tell you when you need to like slow down a little bit so you don't tear. And they're really big on making sure that you don't tear, which is so great. I haven't torn with either of my all three of my births, I guess you could say, which for twins is pretty amazing. And just slowing down and like pushing slowly so that the baby can just come out at its pace and not too fast. Just trusting your body.
Wow, that is really intense. It's unbelievable. Did you have any fear, you know, with things going awry and getting close to a hospital? Or did you feel like really confident? Did you just have that sense that in your heart it was all going to just be fine?
I will say, in my heart, I knew it was going to be fine because watching how God had just put this whole thing in order, I mean, closing down the door to a really great doctor, I'm like, there's something bigger here. So I knew it was going to be fine, but it's hard to trust the bigger picture when you're in the details. It's hard to trust that there is a victory when you're doing the little battles along the way. So for me, there were moments where I did have some fear, where I did think, oh boy, like early on we got a screening done that I didn't realize was being done. I wouldn't have done it had I known what they were doing. It was optional, I didn't know it was optional. They told us that we had a 1 in 34 chance that at least one of our boys had Down syndrome. And not that that would have changed anything for us. We would have loved them regardless. But it just was such a surprise to us, and there was fear because we realized that would change our entire living situation, our plans for our lives, and so on. And so there were moments of fear of, are we getting ourselves into a situation that is out of our experience, should we be really sticking with the safe route and going to the hospital? And I just kept going back to the way that God had provided all these little glimmering stones along. I just said, okay, we're just going to go with it. And if we're going the wrong way, I know he'll course correct. Because he kept course correcting me every other time. But yeah, there was fear. I will say there was fear. But by the end of it, I can say that when the actual delivery happened, there wasn't any. In the final days of labor, in the final contractions, it was no fear.
There must be such a benefit to delivering at home just in the fact that you're home.
Yes.
I mean, like, right then and there, you know, everyone leaves and it's just you and your little family, you know. I can't imagine that not. I spent about 4 days in the hospital. So it was different in that way, you know. Just having the comforts of home.
It's really what we wanted. We really wanted to have the comforts of home. We wanted to have this moment of the babies have arrived and now I'm going to go sit on my own couch. I'm going to go lay in my own bed. I'm going to be in my own shower. I know where everything is. I know what food I can have. Oh, another thing during labor, by the way, home birth, birth center birth, you eat the whole time. Whenever you want, whatever you want, you eat the whole time. It's fabulous. So I have to say that. But delivery at home, it was fantastic. I didn't have to get into a car and drive somewhere afterwards. I didn't have to put them into a car seat. I just got out of the pool, sat on my couch, and my husband sat in the lazy boy, and that was it. Technically, they didn't even have to wear clothes if they didn't, want to.
So did you still have some of his paternity leave?
We did. So we had the 1 week, the entire week. And then he went in and said, explained what the situation was and asked if he could take an additional, I think it was 3 days. And then because we were so close to the Christmas holiday, he only had to go in for a period of time. And then he ended up having two or three weeks off because of the holiday. So it ended up working out fine with the paternity leave, but we were pushing up against it. It was it was getting a little close to the line.
Well, that is a really great story.
Thank you.
Let's see if there's anything that we can cover. Yeah. Let's see. At any point did you feel like with the pain that you were like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
I'll tell you what. My midwife thinks I'm hilarious because of it. And even with... So here's my track record. First birth, 38 hours, 5 hours of it is pushing. And it was back labor the whole time. With these two, 11 days of labor, and then, you know, delivering two babies, not once have I ever had that moment where it was like, this is too big. I will say, with the first one, there was a point where they were doing a procedure to try, manipulate, I think it was my cervical lip. And it was, I said, I can't do that. I said, I need you to do something different. But, no, I've never had that moment because I know my body was built to do this. My body knows what it's doing. And if there ever gets to a point where I literally cannot do it, then the practitioners around me, the midwives and the nurses, know that there's something wrong, and they will help me to do whatever I need to do. So I've never had that moment. I never got to that place because I trust my body so much, and I know it's going to do what it needs to do.
That's great. I think it's good.
Do you
know
the one word?
She had mentioned a theme though too. I can't remember. It was, remember? You said,
yeah. This love over fear.
That's a good one. So we're talking about separating these into themes and asking people if they can kind of come up with a word or a phrase of words that summarizes their experience. You know?
I know love over fear, definitely. I think, just to put into one word, it would be faith, because it was faith the whole thing was going to work, and faith that I don't have to fear, and then just like the fact that my faith like kind of help determine who was going to be surrounding. So I guess like in a, like two or three ways that you could kind of use the same word. It's kind of like those great movie titles where you have, it means two things in one.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I can think of, either love or love over fear or faith.
Okay.
Or twins. That probably would be a really easy identify.